truth is like a circle, no beginning or end. Anything new to us represents an expanded view of what we were aware of previously. Everything that is true has always been true. There is no such thing as creation, but only revelation. The first words in Genesis chapter 1 of the King James Version of the Bible, it states, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Mary Baker Eddy explains in chapter 15 of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures, that the spiritual translation of that is in the only revelation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "There is nothing new under the sun." And this fully supports Mary Baker Eddy's spiritual translation of the first few words of chapter 1 of Genesis. One of the most brilliant Christian scientists of all time, along with Mary Baker Eddy, of course, is Frederick L. Rawson. And he states that when we think we are creating something or inventing something, all we're really doing is rearranging a view of the truth. Think about a sandcastle. Before you begin, it could be a layer of sand that is laying flat on the beach. The number of particles that may be involved in what you're going to use to build your sandcastle could be too many to count. What one is going to do is to rearrange those from a flat surface to building up something that has artistic value. That is rearranging what was always there. This certainly augurs well for one to be humble and totally put aside any thought of ego or special talent. Those thoughts are strictly personal views. Another individual may have an entirely different interpretation and not think of what one appears to have as a set of skills or special talents as being anything unique. A Russian pianist, Vladimir Ashkenazy, is ranked worldwide as one of the finest pianists that ever existed. He was asked one time how he could play with such perfection. And he said, "Practice, practice, practice until the music plays me." No ego, total humility, and giving credit to the composer. He was merely reflecting what the composer intended. He was being a conduit for truth. The principle was a part of the composition. It was the foundation of the composition, whatever he was playing. He was expanding his view of the music until he was seeing fulfillment similar to the American Indians who described a beautiful lake with a perfect variety of surroundings, with color and vitality, in calm water, reflecting perfectly the entire atmosphere. And they described it as the smile of the Great Spirit. In proportion as one demonstrates separating any quality of God from a personality is the degree to which one is able to be closer to God in all thought, speech, and action, and therefore automatically reflects God's qualities and the functions of the system of divine metaphysics in every aspect of their life experience here on earth. And of course, that extrapolates to life eternal. And the goal eventually is to follow the path of Christ Jesus, wherein he overcame every belief that had anything to do with everything that was unlike spirit. On page 465 of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy says, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter." And on page 450, she states an expanded view on this topic. The title of the paragraph is "False Claims Annihilated." Who that has felt the perilous beliefs in life, substance, and intelligence separated from God can say that there is no error of belief? Knowing the claim of animal magnetism that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life, who will deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? Christian scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate. They must renounce aggression, oppression, and the pride of power. Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life. One may want to consider that whenever they think of the scientific statement of being, which is an extremely powerful and important theme in which to follow and easy to refer to throughout the day, one may want to expand with the words that are offered in this page 450 reference, and I'll repeat it, which says, knowing the claim of animal magnetism that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life. Who would deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? We can put any term as a part of that string of words, any term at all that is unlike God. The term electricity is very important because she defines that as being the most ethereal form of matter and mortal mind, which means that as we gain a more pure understanding of truth, that is the higher form of matter and mortal mind, which mocks truth. It mocks divine mind, the omnipotence of divine mind. And therefore, we may not automatically refer to it as just another form of evil. But we should. We should. Friedrich L. Rawson discovered how to treat back in time, whereby the healing would take place effective at a date of one's choosing prior to the date that contact was made with Friedrich L. Rawson for assistance in the healing. If one chose the date in which they first became aware of a problem, all of the time from that date until the present was eradicated from all consciousness, which would be their own and anyone else who knew about the problem and had held it in their consciousness during that period of time. He excelled in every endeavor. By trade, he was an electrical engineer, and those who knew of him and had a problem traveled to see him, and he would solve the problem. These would be companies from all over the world. And this was back in the early 1900s when the mode of travel was not what we have at our fingertips today. Depending on where they were located, they could spend up to a month of travel time just getting to him. There was no international telephone service available. So travel, in order to have a bilateral conversation, was necessary. He attended a rifle shooting contest, and he treated himself before shooting, before pulling the trigger. And he turned away from the target, closed his eyes, and got his thought as perfectly in alignment with God as he was able to do. And when he felt a sense of peace and balance, still with his eyes closed and his head turned, he pulled the trigger. He won the contest. And there were other students of his that were at the same contest and experienced bullseyes from their shooting efforts. He wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and the chapter on applied treatment includes 1,315 different ailments, and he briefly describes the name of the ailment and what the claim is about that ailment, and then devotes the rest of the text about how to solve it. Following Mary Baker Eddy's guidance, in which she says we must find out what the claim is and then affirm the characteristics of its opposite, which of course is the truth. And that's what he does with all of those ailments. We here at the Mary Baker Eddy Institute nickname that book the A to Z Encyclopedia of Healing. Highly recommended. He was looking out a window with another Christian Scientist by the name of Spalding, who is an author on our website as well as Mr. Rawson. And this was back also in the same time frame, probably 1910 or 1915 or so. And there was a man that was driving a cartload of rocks, and for some reason he felt uneasy about it, and he stopped the animal and went back to examine the tailgate. And when he was back there, something alarmed the animal, who raised up and dumped the whole load of rocks on the driver. As soon as the event occurred, Mr. Rawson took action, opened his thought completely to God and truth, and the truth about man, and he said these few words: there is nothing but God. As soon as he said those words, the man rocketed out from underneath the rocks without a scratch. That was an instantaneous healing that went back in time from after the accident to before the accident. You will be very interested in reading his 8-page biography and all of his writings are recommended to the maximum. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute offers the teachings of Christian Science utilizing the system of divine metaphysics and suggesting a specific plan of study whereby if one follows it, that they will be able to overcome any and every problem that may confront one. When one of Mary Baker Eddy's students sent her a letter asking for assistance with a vision problem that she didn't seem to be able to heal on her own, Mary Baker Eddy made one very important statement. Her reply to the lady said, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way?" The title to this prayer treatment refers to a larger view. In this case, we're not referring to utilizing a myopic view, but a larger view that inserts God into our consciousness. And of course, God is all that exists, just like Mr. Rawson stated. There is nothing but God. All truth, all reality is God, which includes God's manifestation. In Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, whereby the original word is Elohim, that's from the original language. And throughout the Bible, if the word Elohim is the root word of the English translation, the root word in the original language, then the discussion is about the real God. If it is Jehovah, or another term, and there's a couple of others that are used, then we have to realize that that is talking about the belief of an Adam and Eve man. In Genesis, that begins with chapter 2, verse 4. But if we focus on chapter 1 through verse 3 of chapter 2, then that is a detailed description of everything God created. And it states that God gave man dominion. And the man that is referred to is the only real man, which of course is spiritual, that exists. In other words, the man of God's creating, the man of God's revelation, the man that is the reflection of the source, which is God. Remember the definition of God. You should live with that all the time. Repeat it frequently. In fact, there's several. The first one from 465, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And from 587, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And on that same page, the definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. And omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. And omni means one, only, and all. God is omni, the only one, the only one. Is storm an action of God? Or is it a false view? Is it the deceit of evil that is trying to get our attention? Trying to say, I'm powerful. Trying to tell us that God is evil. God is destructive. Go back and read Genesis chapter 1 through verse 3, chapter 2. Recite the definitions that I just recited to you. Two definitions of God and one of good. Mary Baker Eddy Institute certainly does not promote war. But when England was in war, they were dealing with an opponent that was trying to control the mind of the soldiers of England. And when England realized why their soldiers were failing so badly, they instructed them to change their thought from being passive or fearful, and to think about the mathematical tables. They all knew math well enough to be able to do that. You know, 1 times 1, 1 times 2, 1 times 3, 2 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 3 times 1, 3 times 2, 3 times 3, and going up the scale as far as you can do it. As far as you've memorized it. And when they changed their energy from fear to the math tables, they were then able to solve the problem of someone else controlling their mind, controlling their thoughts, controlling their whole atmosphere. And again, we do not propose any country being in war. And England was one of the worst. That's why they called it the Empire. They went around the whole world making other countries subservient to them. Of course, they had a big navy. So when they would discover a new land, they would make it a subservient country to England. And they all swore to the king or the queen of England. So many countries that the king or queen of England would never have even seen the country that the people were swearing their allegiance to under the force of the politicians. And if one follows the qualities that are stated by those three definitions, and if they're a good model for doing that, they will attract others to do it. And enough people did it, there would never be a conflict of any kind. You wouldn't even have a conflict within your own family or within your own community, city, state, country, period. That is living the golden rule. How could you be in conflict with your brethren if you're living the golden rule? Based on history and the records, it's said that the Ten Commandments were parlayed into a large number of commandments. So the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the most important one? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the golden rule. He responded with one commandment, but most people think of it as two or more. I mean, all of the commandments are basically love your neighbor as yourself, because if you do that, you're not going to be killing them or stealing from them or doing any of the other things that are listed in the commandments. And Jesus wanted to point out that you could not love God unless you love your neighbor. And it states in the Bible, if you cannot love whom you see, how can you love whom you do not see? God is not visible. No, Jesus is not God. He himself stated that many different ways and many times in the Bible. Anyone who really understands the Bible and reads the words that are in the Bible will never call Jesus God. At another time, the Pharisees ask him, good master. And then they ask him a question. He said, why call me good? There is none good but God. He didn't even want to consider himself as being good. And he probably understood exactly what Mary Baker Eddy defines in the glossary on page 587, that good is another name for God, another name for spirit. Jesus was not God. Jesus was not spirit. God is spirit. Spirit means substance. Spirit is invisible. God is invisible. The life of a tree is God. The life of you, the life of me, that's God being manifested. We are visible. We are a symbol. We are a reflection. That is, if we act like it. If we don't act like it, then we're not a reflection of God. We're a reflection of something far less than God. And we have to convert our thought. When we see an evil act, the first thing that we should do, the very first thing, the very first thought we should have, and if we don't, we need to insert it into our consciousness and replace anything that is less, and that is that what we are observing is not the truth about that individual or anyone else. It is a temptation to believe that evil has power, that evil has a personality, that evil is a person, is an individual. It's a suggestion that evil is that individual, the one that's walking around or standing, facing us or whatever. It's a suggestion that what is visible is a true representation of evil. We must deny that that is true, and we must say to ourselves, at least, if not verbally, depending on the circumstances, that no, that is not God's idea, because God's idea is perfect. That is a false view of reality. And reality is the only thing that exists. When Jesus saw someone that had a problem, whether they were blind or dead or somewhere in between, if he would have thought of them as being blind or being dead, he could not have healed them. Einstein says, if you have a problem, recognize that you cannot solve the problem on the same level of thinking where the problem appeared. You cannot solve a problem if you're thinking on the same level where you're seeing the problem. That's why Frederick L. Wasson was so successful in solving problems from people that came to him for electrical consultation. These were big companies. It wasn't a matter of money. They could hire anybody that could solve it for him. These were big companies. He immediately had to increase the aperture and not be looking in a myopic way, but in an expanded view, a larger view, which is a part of the title to this prayer treatment. And of course, after he learned about Christian Science, then he could base it on a more spiritual approach that had no limit for solutions. And I'll give you one clue as to how he was able to heal back in time. And you'll have to read the details. But he began by stating that everything is possible to God. If we have a problem, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to immediately affirm in our own thought two things. One is we should start by denying that the problem is real. And second of all, we should say everything is possible to God. Remind ourselves of what we're studying about, what we're doing in an attempt to increase our spiritual recognition of who we are. And the spiritual recognition is the only real one. Everything else is a facade. Kurt Russell was asked one time, how did he compare his life to the acting? He said, well, acting is all fantasy. That's fantasy land. My real life is what is real. He immediately recognized acting was a fantasy land. In Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy refers to an actor that had such poor health he hobbled to get to the play, the theater, where he was going to perform. And then he sat in his chair aching until his cue was called. As soon as his cue was called and it was time for him to go up on the stage and perform his part as a part of the company, he became a totally different individual. It stated that he acted on stage as if he was the youngest one in the group. He converted his thought from what his physical indication was by looking through a set of eyes based on matter and mortal mind and material sense. And he replaced that view with what he needed to be when he was on the stage. Now, the correct thing that he should have done, if he was able to do it, of course, needed to have the spiritual understanding to do it, but to realize that the way he was on the stage, that was his real self. And the other was the fake. His physical life was a fake. And that's what we all need to do. The phrase, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," really means I need to change, and I am changing my attitude to know that it is not them that is acting in an evil way, but it is mortal mind control, that is trying to control them. And it does, takes control. So that every thought, speech, and action that they're doing is evil. Forgive them, Father. for they know not what they do, really means I need to replace the thought of them with the reality of them being an image and likeness of God. Just like Jesus did. Just like Einstein tells us to do. We can't be looking at the problem and try to solve it if we're going to be looking at it at the same level of where the problem is. So we can't look at everyone or anyone on the physical level, the material base, the facade, the fantasy realm, and correct our thought. We can't do it. We have to jump over the bridge and change our perspective. In a book of statements by Mary Baker Eddy that was compiled by Richard Oakes, it's called The Blue Book because that was the color of the cover of the book. She defines the five spiritual senses. Sight, spiritual discernment. Hearing, spiritual understanding. Feeling, divine consciousness. Smell, intuition of character. Taste, relish of truth. Spiritual discernment is sight. That means properly identifying what you see. You have to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false, what is evil and what is good, what is spiritual, what is material, what is life, what is death, what is true, what is false, what is consciousness and what is unconscious, what is love, what is hate, what is real thinking and what is false thinking, what is divine mind, what is mortal mind, what is intelligence and what is ignorance, what is wisdom and what is false reasoning, what is knowing and what is ignorance. Jesus saw a blind man and he immediately recognized the truth, that the man was not blind. Tabitha, he said, she is not dead but sleepeth. It didn't matter what he saw. When he saw the leprous men, he didn't see them as being leprous. When Mary Baker Eddy said, can you focus no matter what comes your way? That to what she referred. The system of divine metaphysics includes four operators. Just like mathematics has four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The four operators of divine metaphysics are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. They're mentioned in Revelation, which is the result of the dictation of Jesus to John. Yes, Jesus came back and met with John on the island of Patmos and dictated the book of Revelation. And Revelation includes the four sides of the city. the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The spiritual sense is that the Word is all the facts about God. The Christ is translating what we see visibly to its invisible, true nature. And if we're seeing evil, then we flip it. Christianity is how we're living our life. Are we a Christian? Are we loving our brethren as ourselves? Are we living a life of giving? The Bible says we should tithe. That means a tenth part. Are we giving 10% of our gross income for the benefit of those that are in need? Forget about giving it to a church. Almost every church in the world is corrupt. It's just like, don't give it to the Red Cross anymore. It used to be one of the finest organizations. In fact, we have Clara Barton as an author on our website, the founder of the American Red Cross. You should read about that and what she says about Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. She was a very fine woman, Clara Barton was. But giving it to the Red Cross is giving it to the corrupt deep state. The Department of FEMA, which represents Federal Emergency Management, they go in and rob and beat and kill the victims of the storms. That's being changed now. Thank goodness for the changes as of January the 20th. One really has been taking place longer than that. But anyway, the point is that the government agencies are almost totally corrupt from beginning to end. And the same with almost every institution, including the churches. So what we need to do, if we are really going to live a life of love, which is giving, we need to be alert actively all the time for someone that we can help. And if it's money that they need and you decide that's the best thing to do, then you give it to them directly. If it's food, most everyone needs something that is not money. Because you can't eat it, you can't sleep on it. Well, I suppose you could, but, you know. People need things. They don't need money. So, you strive for finding out in a very tactful way what they need. And remember, ego cannot be a part of it. So you need to be as anonymous as possible. Sometimes you can be completely anonymous. Sometimes you cannot. When the President of the United States makes a gift to someone, it's like impossible because everyone has seen his face and knows who he is. In fact, anyone that's really studied about him knows his reputation, that he freely gives. He's the only president that is known to not take a salary. But a life of giving means that we are earnestly searching for those that are in need, and we're earnestly seeking what they need, and we're earnestly devoted to helping. That is the golden rule in action. That is walking the talk, walking the thought. We cannot be successful in having a fulfilled life, and probably cannot be successful in any healing that we are working on, unless we are living a life of giving. Because giving is love. Without love, there is no success in life. Mary Baker Eddy describes love as life. How are we living our life? What atmosphere do we have? What atmosphere do we permit to be exuding from us? When we go shopping, are we thinking about me, me, me? What is on the list? That should be incidental. Yes, if we are organized and have a list, which we should be because that's principle, and have things mapped out as, you know, the proper way to travel from one place to another without backtracking and having everything on the list so we don't forget something and have to go back or delay it to another shopping time. When we go inside the store, we shouldn't leave without looking at the list. But being inside of a shopping area is an ideal place to looking for people that need help. Might be someone trying to carry more than they can carry. It could be anything. It could be a lost child wandering around by itself. There are continuous ways that we can give to our brethren. Continuous. I live in an area that if I take a walk and people are having a cooking outside and they see me walk by, many different occasions, they will happen to be glancing up and ask me, am I hungry? Would I like to join them? Total stranger to them. They don't know anything about me. But they think about giving. Do we do the same thing? Do we just drive by people that are in need when their car breaks down? Now we got to be careful. We have to be intelligent. We have to be utilizing all the qualities of God. If we're going to be giving, we have to give intelligently. We have to use principle. We have to have discipline. If we are an attractive woman, you need to conduct yourself differently if you're trying to give to a stranger than if you're Mr. America or Mr. Boxing Champion. Everything has to be tailored so that you are doing it properly. Not only can you not be thinking evil, but you cannot give the appearance of being evil. Just contemplate that. You'll figure out what it means. We must remember that truth is like a circle. There is no beginning and no end. It is always true, always has been. Time is not an element with God. Mind is not limited by time. Mr. Rawson indicates that where he went to school, they weren't doing this when he was there, but before, in prior eras, they taught that there was no time. And when he discovered that, that was probably an assistant as being a catalyst in him overcoming the belief of time himself. Just reasoning. Well, if they were teaching that, they must have thought it was the truth. The Bible says everything is possible to God. Mary Baker Eddy says that time and space are mortal limitations. So why do we need to be limited in time in healing? Why do we have to look at it just right now instead of when the problem appeared? Why not erase the whole concept of the problem without the limitation of time? Christian Science practitioners generally do not see their patients. Their communication these days, well, and throughout history, by utilizing the latest kind of technology that was available. Since telephone was available, that was used. And then, of course, we have many other kinds of communication now. But that's overcoming space. You don't have to get in a vehicle of some kind and go somewhere to talk to the patient. Joel Goldsmith is another fine one. Someone called him from the Benevolent Association, which is a Christian Science nursing home. And she was having trouble. So he went there, which was the normal thing back in those days. That was in the early 1900s. And when he walked in, the receptionist said, "You don't want to go in there." He said, "Why?" He said, "I've been called to come and see this lady." She said, "Everybody's sick." He said, "What do you mean, everybody?" And she told him how many people they had there. I guess, I don't know, it was 100 or 200. She said, "They all have the same problem. And it's contagious. If you go in there, you're going to come out of there with a problem." When she told him how many people were there, and they all had the problem, he said, "You only have one problem." Whatever the number was, let's say it's 150. "You don't have 150 problems. You have one." He sat down there in the reception area and got his thought clear about what God is, what man is, the relationship between God and man, about the fact there's no limitation. You know, whatever, you know, all the various things that came to him that applied to the situation. And in a few minutes, they started coming out saying they were healed. What happened? Everybody's healed. Like it was something magic. The healings of Christ Jesus were not magic. They weren't miracles. Mary Baker Eddy proved the science because she brought back the element that had been lost from approximately 325 AD to 1866. You know, 1500 years. The early church fathers, up until 325, they conducted healings like Jesus did. But then they had a meeting called the Council of Nicaea, and the churches and the governments were concerned about the power of the individual, and they didn't know, and they no longer were interested in yielding to the dominance of the church or the dominance of the government. So they got together and made a deal. They defined Jesus as God. And they used the symbol of him hanging on a cross where he's dead. He's been killed. And that's their God. That's the God of Christianity from 325 AD until Mary Baker Eddy came along. And she changed all that. Instead of emphasizing the crucifixion, she emphasized the resurrection and the ascension. She defined God in accordance with the definitions that have been recited in this prayer treatment. And the very first word of the first definition is incorporeal. No body, no person, no Jesus. No, that's not God. God is invisible. God is the power that operates the whole universe, the whole, all existence, however many universes there are. Invisible. God is invisible, incorporeal, invisible. Divine, which means perfect, supreme, nothing higher. And infinite, no limitation. When you think of those four words, you cannot but help to be expanding your view and being able to be in the frame of thought where you can apply it to any problem. We have a video on our website that says, "How big is the problem?" I highly recommend, if it's not on the home page where we have it there frequently, to go to the menu of mbeinstitute.org and look for the title, "How Big is the Problem?" It's only like 3 minutes long. And I won't tell you any more other than it includes comparing little things with things that are beyond measure. And it gives it to you as a video in graphic form. It's beautiful. Now, by the way, when the Bible says that we should tithe, think about yourself. How much do you want to be involved? How successful do you want to be? How fast do you want to improve your life? I'm not giving you a definition of success. That's up to you. What does success mean to you? But whatever it is, if it's a wholesome topic that is what is being considered, wholesome means benefit everyone concerned, being reflecting the qualities of God, if you're doing that, then you probably don't want to be an average student. You don't want to be progressing at an average rate. You want to be accelerated. You want to be a a C+ or a B- or a B or a B+ or an A- or a solid A or an A+. Or maybe you want to be reflecting the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, or you're not going to think about matter, but you're going to be thinking about the idea. That's being incorporeal. Divine, you're going to be thinking about whatever you do to do it perfectly. Like Vladimir Ashkenazi. Maybe you want to be reflecting the quality of supreme, or you want to be at the apex of perfection. And you won't accept anything less. The first man that broke the 4-minute mile, he couldn't be thinking of a limitation. He had to be thinking of the infinite. His realm was the infinite. And once he broke that false limitation of 4 minutes for the mile, other people have broken his record. We need to give generously and not be stuck at 10%. We don't need to just be thinking about money. There's many other things. Do you have things in your garage you don't need? Things in your house you don't need? How about things that you use that you feel are very valuable? Giving means you would give that. Are you going to give them a basket of fruit or food or whatever? Pick out the best. Pick out the best. Don't give them what you don't want. Don't just give when you have an excess. Give when you have a shortage. That means you really want to be expressing love. And you want to be learning a life of giving. Cultivating a life of giving. Give the best. Give what you need. Strive to not be stuck at 10% of anything. If you have 10 houses, you don't have to be thinking about only getting rid of one of them. If you have 10 cars, if you have $10, $10 million, 10 suits of clothes, doesn't matter what it is. When you start your day, you have 1,440 minutes. 24 hours later, you have the beginning of another 1,440 minutes. How many of them are you giving to God? How many of them are you giving to helping other people? How many of them are you giving for whatever you're giving them to? Have you studied time management? You should read every book you can get your hands on so that you are efficient with your time. Have you set any goals? Do you realize the importance of balance in your life? That's principle. Balance. Many different categories in a life. Are you including all of them that are important? Are you balancing them in a way that you're representing love? Love is fulfillment. Love is wholeness, completeness. Being a workaholic is not completeness. Being a holic of anything is not completeness. Intelligence is a part of mind. Are you intelligent with your goals, with your schedule, with your education? Are you working on self-improvement? Do you need to refine your vocabulary? Anyone who seriously studies Mary Baker Eddy's writings and looks up every single word that they do not know, frontwards and backwards, and some of them that you think you know, that you want to see, is there a spiritual aspect to this that I'm overlooking? Most people don't understand that hearing means understanding. You think you knew what hearing meant. Most people do not realize that that means understanding. I am grateful eternally for what I have learned, and I feel I'm just scratching the surface. Just scratching the surface. I'm not even where I deserve to wash Jesus' feet because I feel I'm so much lower. I can't even reach up that high. I'm striving to be like the man that accomplished so much that someone asked him, how in the world can you accomplish so much? And he had been striving to do the right thing and to live his life correctly and to be on a good mission of helping humanity. And he said, one day I started bending over and thinking about where I am, who I am, what I had accomplished. And then he bent a little bit lower, went through the same exercise mentally. And then he bent lower and lower and lower until he was as low as he could get to the ground. I don't know, maybe he bent his knees and rested his forehead on the ground. I don't know. But in the article I read about him, this has been a long time ago, but they described it similar to how I'm paraphrasing it here. Until he got so low, he felt that he as a person was nothing. In other words, he got to the point where he realized that his personal ego was a mistake to even think about yourself. When he got to that point, he said, why do I ever think of myself? There's no importance in myself. I am an unreality. The only thing I know of for sure is that there is God somewhere. And that there is no power that is greater than God. So I'm going to put my effort on that side of the balance, the fulcrum. Is going to be adjusted so that my entire effort is going to be asking what God wants me to do and for me to listen and for me to put my heart and soul and mind, all of it, into that. Whatever God tells me to do. And I'm going to listen. I'm not going to be tricked by evil. Clara Barton, the one that founded the American Red Cross, people couldn't believe how much she accomplished. It's like she never slept. Because she had in her heart to help people that were in dramatic need. I mean, the Red Cross originally was to help people that were soldiers in the war. Now, the whole thing about war is evil. Every war that there has ever been has been man-made. Somebody wants something that someone else has and they don't want to pay for it. They want to steal it with no repercussions. What do you think Europe wants to do with Russia? They've made public statements. You know, today is March the 8th, 2025. And they made public statements in the last 3 days that Russia has $75 trillion in natural resources, which is correct. You can look it up. Do a search. I don't recommend you use Google because they're totally corrupt, but you might find it on Google. They generally censor everything so that you only can find what they want you to see. But if you do a search for whatever search engine you're going to use, and we have one at the bottom of our every web page and our footer that we highly recommend that is uncensored. But anyway, whatever search engine you're going to use, just search for countries with the, you know, the natural resources of countries, or the countries with the greatest amount of natural resources, something along that line. And it'll give you a list. Russia's number one, more than double number two. The U.S. is number two. Less than half. I think it was like $34 trillion for U.S. All natural resources of every kind. Yeah, less than half of Russia. So Europe is in such dire straits because they've been so ignorant and greedy. That they said, well, you know, we can just take over Russia and then we'll be the wealthiest nation in the world. I don't know, I think they have something like 200 weapons of mass destruction. And Russia has 6,000. 30 times. No country has ever been able to defeat Russia. Napoleon was defeated by Russia. Nazis, Hitler, defeated by Russia. Russia is the one that we should be thanking for winning World War II. They're the ones that defeated Germany. They're the ones that defeated Nazis. They're the ones that defeated Hitler. Not the United States. We got a free ride. Compare the number of human lives that were lost by Russia compared to the United States. In fact, compared to all the rest of the world. Russia's the one that lost the human lives. I believe you will find that it was more than all the rest of the countries put together. They've never been defeated. So all of a sudden you're going to take the Europe, which is very weak, because of ignorant things they've been doing here for decades. And they're going to defeat the strongest nation in the world. Nope, not a chance. U.S. couldn't begin to defeat Russia. The U.S. has been putting missiles, trying to blow up Russia, ever since 2014. For 10 years, 11 years. And Russia has not put a single weapon in the U.S. They can do it. They can push a button from where they are and they could destroy the U.S. in a matter of minutes. But they're smarter, more intelligent, more patient. They're more Christian. You want to start a Christian church? Go over to Russia. Easiest place in the world to start a new Christian church. You want to be in an area that does not believe in more than two sexes? Go to Russia. I'm not trying to promote Russia. I'm only giving you the facts, and you can go and do your own research. We need to be focusing on the invisible, not the visible. Forget war. President Trump said he was tired of signing letters when he was president, of apologies and empathy to the mothers and fathers of their kids that had been killed in the war. Any war. Every war has been manufactured by individuals and countries who wanted to take something that belonged to someone else, period. And all of the catastrophes, earthquakes and everything else, the bombing of buildings and shootings in schools, it is all done by the U.S. government in the U.S., and most of what's done in other countries is by the U.S. government. Three-letter agencies. Most of them begin with C. We have to be cultivating a world, an individual character, not of stealing, which creates war, but of giving, which creates harmony. That's supposed to be the purpose of the Olympics. So what do they do these days? They ban countries that they want to steal from. The Olympics is a great thing. Of course, a lot of corruption in that, but at least the idea is good. I am grateful for what little I've learned from whatever source it's been, and obviously the Bible characters. Habakkuk says, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. That's what we need to be. We need to be of purer eyes than to behold evil. Can we focus no matter what comes our way? Are we going to use the quality of the Christ? I told you that the third quality of Christianity was living like a Christian. Well, it's demonstrating, it's proving in our life that we are living the qualities of God. And if we do that, we will have healing. And science means that we are living like Christ Jesus did. It's automatic. We're elevated so that we are living on the spiritual level continuously. We're living scientifically. That's what science is. I'm going to close with a short prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy. She taught this in the Metaphysical College, which she conducted from 1881 to 1898. We can tell you how to get the notes on that entire 18 years of teaching. Any communication you want to do, we have a contact button in our menu or a link, and you just click on it and send us a message. It is encrypted, private, uncensored, and if you want to talk, give us your number. If you're in the U.S., we'll call you, or Canada, U.S. or Canada, we'll call you. If you're in another country, then we will suggest that you subscribe to Telegram, and we can use the voice communication there, which is free all over the world. Here is the prayer treatment, very short, on the quality of truth, which is the key word at the beginning of the phrase about this prayer treatment, which is truth, and about the circle, and about an expanded view. So here it is on truth. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the word of God. Amen.